Thanks, Gavin. Morning, guys. So we've been spending the last while, I actually looked at it probably the last 2-3 months, spending a lot of time on our vertical relationship with God. And we can't just spend time on vertical relationship with God because we become very individualistic. We can become quite selfish. And we see that in the church globally. Everyone just says, you know, they don't even attend church sometimes. You know, they just have this vertical relationship. But we also need to preach about horizontal relationship. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love others as you would want to be loved. And together, they fulfill the commandments. So they're both really important. So we felt as elders over the next season, we wanted to, just to create balance, we wanted to also preach about horizontal relationship, and that's relationship with each other, and particularly in the area of gifts. What is your gift? So we're going to look at that today. So the Bible says that we have been apportioned grace, okay? And there's two types of grace. There's charis and charisma, or charisma. And charis is talking about the grace that covers sin, and we've seen this in Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace, and that word for grace there is charis, that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift, or the doron, is the Greek, of God. So you get that grace, which we spend a lot of time on, the grace that covers sin. But there's another grace, and this is in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift. And the Greek word there for gift is not doron, like the gift we saw in the previous scripture. The word for gift there is charisma. It's charis, grace, ma. It's a gift that comes from grace, or a spiritual gift. And it says that each one, everyone say each one. That means that every single one of you here today are included in the scripture. It's not just me ministering from the microphone. It's you sitting in your chair today. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. That means that every single one of you have received a gift, usually a multitude of gifts, normally with one major gift. To serve others faithfully, administering God's grace. So we see that this charisma is a manifestation of grace. There's a grace over your life. Everyone say, please, I have a grace over my life. So what I wanted to talk to you today about, as we look at that scripture again, if you just keep it up for a sec there, faithfully administering grace in its very various forms. That's the NIV, right? 1 Peter 4:10. It's interesting, the different variations. In the 1 Peter 4:10, you might actually find it in the NLT or the ESV. It says, as faith, just check the ESV for me, as faithful stewards of God's grace. Just see what 1 Peter 4:10 says in ESV. And so today I wanted to talk about stewarding that grace upon your life. And we're going to look at five areas. Well, that, there we go. So ESV says it better. So as each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, or manifold grace. So just leave that up for a sec. So today we're going to talk about you've received the gift and that you need to be a good steward of that grace gift. Does that make sense? The ESV saved me there. It's funny how the different translations often highlight different things. So five areas we'll look at today. We have all been given grace gifts, number one. Number two, we are each a steward of that grace gift. Number three, we'll look at descriptions of grace gifts in the Bible. Number four, that each grace gift is a manifestation of Jesus. Number five, that the outcome of those gifts is love in the church. And number six, finding out what your grace gift is, which everyone is sitting here going, pondering on it already. So, number one, we've all been given grace gifts. So, 1 Corinthians 12:7 in the NLT. A spiritual gift, or charisma, is given to each of us so we can help each other. So if the devil is lying to you and saying you don't have a gift, the word of God says that you do. So are you going to listen to the devil's lies or listen to the word of God? The word of God says each one of you here today have been given a gift, a spiritual gift. Have been given charisma, a grace gift. It's a grace thing. It's not just an ability. It's a spiritual thing that you've received, a grace that God. So God has not only poured out grace upon you to cover your sins, God has poured grace upon you to minister. And out of that grace that flows through you, that's called charisma or a grace gift. And every single one of you have it. I know we sometimes look at people, other people in the congregation like Kim Willer, etc., and say, well, Kim has a grace gift. You know, he moves in the apostolic, he basically moves in everything, evangelism, pastoral, you know. I see those grace gifts on Kim's life. But the scripture is saying that we all have the same grace that's on Kim as on you. You've just got to figure out in this season, what is the grace gift that you're operating in right now? And how important that is. The Bible also says that there's no hierarchy of graces. In the office, obviously, the apostolic has priority in the office, the fivefold. So there's a priority of the apostolic, but the apostolic is still a finger. The apostolic is like the thumb, and the other grace gifts are of the office: pastor, teacher, evangelist, and prophet. The order wasn't right there. But those other ones are like the other fingers, and the apostles able to handle the other gifts so well. That's why other gifts are so attractive to Andrew, because he's got the apostolic gift. The other gifts find it easy to minister with him. And without the apostolic, the other fingers, have you ever seen a hand without a thumb? It really, really struggles. So that apostolic is so key to utilize. And usually within the apostolic, you usually find someone like Andrew, like Kim as well, they've got multiple of those graces in them. They're able to handle the evangelists because they're good evangelists themselves. They're able to handle the teachers. They're able to handle the prophets, and they're able to handle the pastors because they have all those giftings in them themselves, and they're able to, without insecurity, manage the other gifts. However, besides that, which that fine print that I've just laid down now, there is no hierarchy of gifts. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 20 to 21. It says, as there is many parts but one body, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Your gift is no less important than my gift. I can't say to you, I don't need you. You can't say to me, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And the Bible describes us sitting here as the body of Christ. Every single one of us here is an eye, a hand, a toe, a toenail, something. But toenails have a purpose. I'm not sure what they are, but they must have a design, okay? They must have a strong purpose, otherwise God wouldn't have put them on our bodies. But they're all equally important. If I'm even missing a small, you know, if I'm missing a little bit of skin on my finger, you know, like a small little chunk came out, I can feel that skin. It's hurting. Even though it's such a tiny bit, yeah? Let's not even talk about like losing the top of your finger or something, how much that hurts, you know? But every single part is critically important and functions. So don't feel like your gift doesn't count. It's really important you look at that scripture. Let's keep it up for a sec, 1 Corinthians. And you meditate on that and you say, how do I fit? How do I fit into that? Because you do fit. You do fit. Thank you, Kim. Number two, we are each a steward of that grace. So what is a steward? And if we can bring up that slide, what it is to understand being a steward. So a steward is a person responsible for managing, supervising, or protect something that belongs to another. And this is a really interesting point. So your spiritual gift doesn't actually belong to you. It belongs to God. It's been apportioned to you. It's given to you, but it still belongs to Him. And something else, it actually belongs to the church. So that gift that you might be hiding, you're hiding it from the church. It belongs to God and it belongs to the church. It doesn't belong to you. You are just a steward of that gift. Now, if you're a steward of a property, you don't own the property, you only manage it. So you're managing that gift, but it doesn't belong to you. And why that is so important is that we see sometimes people, they minister in their gift and then they take credit for it. Look at me. And we see that in the body of Christ globally. These guys ministering in such power, but they're like kind of making out like it comes from them. They're just stewards of it. They might be good stewards of it, but they cannot take credit for it. In fact, if they start to take credit for it, you know what that's called, hey? Pride. And as the pride starts to keep, that's why we see so many ministers fall. Because pride comes, the Bible says, before a fall. At every point in time, even God uses them miraculously amazing. They may say, I'm just stewarding this gift. I don't own this. This is from heaven. And as we take ownership of our own gifts in a bad way, it can actually cause problems. It can cause pride. You know, we get used and then we think, I'm something. No, that's just God. You're just being a steward of that gift in a moment. So we should always remain humble as God uses us in our gifts. At every level, we should maintain a humility. That's so important. Amen. So we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, it belonging to the church. There are different kinds of gifts. That word for gifts, there's not doma, which is another Greek word for gift. That one there is charisma. There are different kinds of charisma, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Spirit is not for you. That gift is not for you to make, like, you can enjoy it, but it's actually given for the common good. So if I have a teaching gift, which I do have, that teaching gift is not so that I can look good and I can have a job or anything. That's not the point. The point is I have a teaching gift because it belongs to you guys. It's for you guys. It's for the common good. I'm enjoying the gift. You're enjoying the gift. As you minister, I enjoy your gift. You enjoy your gift. It's for the common good. It's not for the individual to be a legend. Does that make sense? And we see that in the body of Christ. We've got all these legends, and the guys are like, you're missing the point. It's not to make you look good. You're just a part of the body. And you can't say that the hand can't say the eye, I'm more important or whatever. So this is really important with the flow of grace gifts that we don't create ownership. Imagine in a company you have a sales department, okay, and you have a sales manager. So you've got a company, Google, you've got a sales department, you've got a sales manager. Does the company own the sales department or does the sales manager own the sales department? The company owns it. The sales manager is just a steward of the sales department. We've got to be very careful that we always position ourselves as stewards of the grace and not we're the owner, I mean, in a bad way, right? Paul explains this well, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he's basically saying, I suck without God. Okay, I only am what I am because of the grace of God. So A, you can already see him posturing himself in humility. And his grace to me was not without effect. Now, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but by the grace of God that was with me. So even Paul saying, even though I worked harder than all of you, it wasn't actually me. He was just stewarding that grace that was upon his life. And we can see that Paul wrestled with stewarding his grace. We see that in Ephesians 3:2. He says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. So Paul is grappling with stewarding his grace. He's got to figure out his grace. And his grace was to reach the Gentiles. Obviously, he had a grace to write huge portions of the New Testament as well. But he's grappling with that, the stewardship. And he's talking about trying to be faithful with it, yeah? And we need to steward our grace as well. We, as the same way that Paul sat down one day and go, I can feel this grace upon me. I know my gifting. And he started to say, how can I be faithful with it? How can I handle this thing well? Each one of you got to do the same. You can't bury your gift. You've got to grapple with it because God wants to use you in the church. He wants to use you in the church. And we see this here in Matthew 25:14-18. For it will be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He had received 5, the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground. Interesting thing here, he doesn't spend his energy on stewarding the gift. He spends his energy on digging a hole. Are you digging a hole or are you stewarding your gift? And after you've dug the hole, have you come to your senses and abandoned the hole? Or have you proceeded to go and bury your gift in the hole? And once you see it buried, make a big mound and compress it and hope for the best. So if that is a correction for you or a rebuke for you, receive it. Do not bury your gift. Because then you'll just be like the one talent. And we know what happened to the one talent guy. He was not commended. He said, you wasted that grace that was apportioned to you. You've got a grace, a precious thing from heaven, apportioned to you that you have to steward. That God's going to, one day, you're going to stand before, and I'm not saying you won't make it into heaven. My opinion is you'll still be in heaven, but you'll be sad with regards to that grace that was given to you that you buried. You'll be like, oh man, I wasted that thing. I should have, why didn't I just present it to God and say, God, use it. The Bible says I have got a gift. Let me figure out what it is and then let me use it. Because I don't want to rob the church of what the church owns. It's almost like you're stealing from the church because you don't own it. It belongs to God and it belongs to the church. So when you're burying it, you're actually taking something of God and the churches and stealing it from them. The church is longing for your gift. It says the manifold expression of his grace. His grace is not just through me or Kim or Bessie or Gavin. His grace is through all of us. We want to see God's grace through you. What does God's grace through you look like? Because it's going to be slightly different to me. And then we see another manifold means, you know the guys that work on cars, you know, you've got that manifold. It's like the pipe gets split into like six pipes or five pipes, whatever. It's the grace is expressed through many different manifold. It's expressed through many, many different forms here. That's how we see the complete grace of God. So who is in control of the gift in terms of stewardship? You are. We could see that steward of that talent took that talent, was in full control of it and buried it. You are in full control of the grace. You can't blame someone else and can't say, well, the leader didn't, you know. I mean, honestly, the leaders are super committed to helping you. I'm not faulting them, but you can't blame the leaders. Ultimately, it's you. You've got to say, I've received this precious thing. You've got to believe in it. You can't just think that it sucks. It's not good. Even if you think you've got the smallest gift, it's critical because God gave you that. Every single person, it's important that you grapple with your gift and say, and there's some cool things that we can look at in a second that you actually grow the number of gifts and in your gifts. So descriptions of grace gifts in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:8-11. To one, and we're going to work on this some more, right? So we're putting it out there. Some of you guys have seen the scripture a lot, but you can spend time on it. You can spend a lot of time on it. You can, you know, it's not just for this preacher to dwell on, right? Because you need to figure out what are your grace gifts. What is your major one and what are the others? At the end, we're actually going to post a questionnaire on the WhatsApp groups where you can actually answer the questionnaire and they will give you, in the opinion of the questionnaire, what are your grace gifts and what are your majors? I did mine and I showed it to Donna and I said, Donna, what do you think? She said, yeah, it's pretty accurate. She did hers, completely different to mine. I thought hers was pretty accurate. I showed it to the elders. They were in agreement. So it's not a foolproof test, but it's pretty good. And you guys probably know there's probably three or four or five, at least that I know of, grace gift or spiritual gift tests out there online, right? We're just going to give you one. If you want to go to the others, that's fine. This is probably the one that we're going to put in front of you for now. We thought it's pretty accurate. Okay? So as we look at this, you've got to be thinking, okay, what do I have? You know, and I'll do four scriptures, and there's a lot of stuff here. So to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. or in the old school, word of wisdom, to another message of knowledge, or word of knowledge. You guys know a word of knowledge, something that only God can know. It's like a supernatural insight into something. You know, like I don't know Bastion, I say, your name is Sebastian, and you live at 44 Smith Street. You know, that's a word of knowledge, yeah? to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, who's got faith? I mean, I know I've got some faith. It's not my major gift, but I definitely have. It's one of my gift makeups. To another, gifts of healing. Who's got healing? You know, it might not be your major one. Whoa, thank you over there. I see some healing over there. Praise God. I'm not going to do all the responses. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. I know Auntie Patricia, she definitely has interpretation of tongues. Very strong in that. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one. So all of us, I can't read that any other way, can you? Every single person here, He gives them to. If you're born again, you've been given one. Just as He determines and He decides. You can't say, well, I didn't want that gift. He decides. The cool thing, and we'll look at it, there are actually options. You don't have to just be stuck in one gift, and we'll look at that in a sec. Next scripture, which is, my screen is just, there we go. Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have differing gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 30. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. You know, it's spread out amongst us. That's why we do team. Even on team ministry, everything's team, yeah? Ephesians 4:11, NIV. So Christ gave, and this is the office that I spoke about earlier. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets. Notice apostles is mentioned first slightly prioritized. The prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. These are offices, okay? There's different to gifts. So when you're in an office, you have an authority in that gift, and you are slightly contagious in that gift, okay? Which means that you can equip saints. So an example of office, that's a recognized gift. It doesn't mean that you can operate in the apostolic or you can operate in the prophetic or evangelism and so forth. It means that you actually carry the office. To help us understand it better, the example of apostolic office, Andrew Selly. Prophetic, Milani. Evangelist, Declan in 830. Pastor, Joe Harry. Teacher, Mike D'Offe. And also Gavin. Gavin's also in that. Teacher, Mike D'Offe. So the love is being shared. So when those guys are praying and ministering, so you saw it at the 4:12 conference. If you went to the evangelist, one that was focusing on evangelism, the evangelist in the office is praying for other guys to equip them with evangelism. Their gift is authoritative and contagious. So that they're able to extend the gift to others. Does that make sense? So someone with the gift of healing, if you desire the gift of healing, you can get prayed for by someone that has the gift of healing in that office, and you can receive a measure of the gift of healing by faith. Obviously, God ultimately decides, but it is possible. And we'll look at that in a sec. So we'll go into point four. I'm just looking at the time. Each grace gift is a manifestation of Jesus. When I'm flowing in my grace gift, you're seeing Jesus. Now, to understand that Jesus had every grace gift within Him, and we see that in Colossians 2:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So all the gifting that we see spread amongst the church was at one point only in Christ. Okay? And then we see in Ephesians 4, 7 to 8. That's a super interesting scripture here. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, when he was resurrected, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And straight after this, Paul talks about charisma. So that gifts is not talking about domo, just regular gifts. It's talking about spiritual gifts. So when Jesus was resurrected, he took all the gifting in him and he gave it to the church. And that's why we're the body of Christ. So when you minister, you're showing Jesus. When healing's flowing through you, who's operating healing here? I know that Helga does. I don't know if she's here today. Kim does. You've done healing. So when Kim is operating in healing and I'm receiving healing from the Holy Spirit by grace, it's actually Jesus touching me, even though it's coming through Kim. And so that's why as we minister in the gifts, people see Jesus. You've got to feel that. Your gift, as you share your gift, people feel Jesus. That gift that used to be in Jesus is in you now. A little bit of it. And together, that's why if we're missing a gift, we're not showing the full picture of Jesus. Does that make sense? And now let me do it. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those, I'll give it to you, and you guys can read that at home. But that, to summarize, that talks about, you know, Jesus saying, you did all these things for people. When you did those things for people, you weren't doing it for just for them. You were doing it for me. Why? Because you were doing it on Jesus' behalf. So as you minister, you're doing it on behalf of Jesus and his gift is flowing through you. Does that make sense? It's really important you see that, because otherwise your gift can come across as something cold. A gift is not just a thing. Your gift is showing Jesus. So show Jesus. Show Jesus to each other with your gift. And the way that you show Jesus is slightly different to the way that I show Jesus. But together, it gives a full picture of Jesus. Does that make sense? We are number five. We're making good progress. The purpose and outcome of the gifts is love. And we see this in Ephesians 4, 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So each part does its special work, right? Your work is special. Say, my work is special. It's true. Because the devil is going to try to tell you that you're not special. You are. It helps the other parts grow. So as you do your job, the rest of us grow. How's that? So you contributing means we all grow. That's how important it is. If you less so, we less grow. So it's such a group effort. Like when we talk about gifts, and that's why I laid down the foundation earlier, steer away from individualistic, because then we're just trying to make heroes. It's for every gift we don't regard the person, we regard the gift. So this is for all of us to enjoy. This is for the purpose is for all of us. And we can see the purpose here, so that the whole body, and imagine this in our congregation, in our church, so the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. I mean, what other congregation would you ever want to be in? Healthy, growing, and full of love. How is that going to happen? With your contribution. As much as you contribute. Otherwise, it's just a few guys at the front getting exhausted. And they're only showing 50% of Jesus. We're not getting a full picture. So we're actively encouraging your part. We want to see grace flow through you guys, each one of you. You are positioned in Christ, each one of you. You are valued. You are not a second-tier Christian. We are all brothers and sisters here. 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So the gifts are to build us up. So if you are coming across in any way negative, I mean, I'm not talking about, even Gavin rebuked us, but I wasn't feeling that was negative. He was talking about inviting visitors. And I actually felt like, well, that's for me too. But I didn't feel condemnation. It felt like we were built up. And so every gift as a minister is a builder. And it's, I actually said to him afterwards, you know, the one time we can talk about no visitors when no visitors are here, you know. When visitors are here, we can't talk about that because then they feel very self-conscious. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. That's what the gifts do for us. They strengthen us. They encourage us, and they comfort us. We always got to work the gifts through that grid. If you see a gift operating in the church and it's not doing that, it's not strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, be wary of that. I don't think that they don't have the gift. I think that they're operating a gift through maybe a twisted lens. They're slightly toxic. The gift is there, but it's not healthy. And they need to actually back off that gift, get some healing, and then put them back into that gift. The gift is coming through a muddy lens. Does that make sense? So very important, always in love, always to build up. 1 Corinthians 14:26, last scripture on this point. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When we meet together, one will sing. Did you see that? I saw Gavin sing before the service started. Another will teach. Another will tell some special revelation God had given them. Saw that. One will speak in tongues. Another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. So everything we do at the front is to strengthen. Its whole purpose is to strengthen. Paul's saying, guys, I don't want ministry in this church if it's not strengthening us. I don't want it. Don't release stuff if it's not strengthening us. The NIV and the ESV says, all things are done for building up. If it's not building us up, we don't want it. God is saying, if your gift is coming not to build up, pause it. Pause it until it's in a place where it's to come and build up. Does that make sense? And we are on my final point, 6, and I'm doing good on some. Finding out what your grace gift is. I know you've all been waiting for this moment. So, you'll be surprised at how easy it is to minister in your grace. What do you find easy to do? Like you just feel a flow of God in it. Is it encouraging? Is it serving? Is it interceding, praying for others? Is it helping people? If it's easy for you, or maybe for some of you, you can't even answer that question yet because you're like, I don't even know what it is yet. But you'll find, as you start to find your gift, you'll find like, man, I just find it easy to do this. It's never a hard thing because there's a grace of flow. You just got to be in touch with it. So find your gift, pray, ask God, and ask others. Very important you ask others. It's amazing. You might suspect a gift. You might say, I think I've got this gift of whatever. Okay? Ask someone else, do you think I have this gift? Like Paul grappled with this gift. Don't just pass the Sunday and go, oh, that was just the gifts Sunday. Okay? Go home and go, this is a lifetime endeavor. For the rest of my life, I've got to grapple with my gifts. And are new gifts being added to my life? Can my gift grow bigger? But you never stop grappling with this question. So this preach out today, you can carry for the rest of your life. You can save it in your favorites, and you can just replay it, you know, until either Jesus comes or you go be with the Lord. Because you've got to grapple with your gift the same way that Paul grappled with his gift. He was stressing, eh? Because he got a big measure of grace. He was stressing. He was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to mess this up. But it wasn't like in a way that I think that he felt like he was going to miss out in heaven. He was just like, I just don't want it. Like, I got given this gift. Why don't I just run with it? So that's the question to you. You've been given this gift. Why don't you just run with it? Instead of like finishing your life on earth and going, man, I got this gift and I just buried it, yeah? Or I just didn't do anything with it. Here's the cool things. You can receive new gifts, and there's more, and you get a car. 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So Timothy got a gift through. So Bessie, come over here. Bessie, what gift are you desiring? Anything off the top of your head? Can't be more money. Evangelism.
Yeah.
I'm not the right person to pray for that. But Kim will come over. And Kim will lay hands on you. Okay? And Bessie could walk away. Kim, why don't you come up for a sec? So Bessie could walk off after Kim laid hands on him. So he walked up without the gift of evangelism, and he walked away with the gift of evangelism. What was the difference? He received prayer and laying on of hands. So you can receive. Thanks, guys. Thank you. They prayed. Thank you. So you can actually you can receive new gifts. And we also see this in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. So basically, Paul's saying, you can desire spiritual gifts. So you might have gifts that, you know, I didn't have a pastoral muscle in my heart, okay? I was just primarily pastor prophetic, right? That was my gift makeup. What did I say? Sorry, teaching prophetic. And I remember one day I came before Don and I was in tears. And I said, because, I mean, you know, I'm in full-time ministry. And I said, and I'm pastoring a church. And I said, this was a long time ago, by the way. And I said to Donna, it wasn't this congregation. I said to Donna, I feel like I don't have a pastoral muscle in my body, a pastoral bone in my body. And I prayed to God. And I said, God, give me the heart of a pastor. And I feel like he gave me that, because I remember one day came up to me. Lucas said to me, you're such a good pastor. And I was like, amazing. Imagine me getting that compliment, you know. But you can actually ask for gifts that you don't have, and God can give them to you. And then you can move in them. It's amazing. The kingdom is so generous. God is so generous. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So I'm going to land with this. So we will post the gift questionnaire to you guys. And I'm landing here. Are you a Philemon or a Philemon or a Philemon? Okay, however you pronounce it. Are you a Philemon? And this is Philemon, and this is fascinating. This is Philemon 7. There is no chapter because there is only one chapter. So this is Philemon. It says 1:7, but it actually isn't 1:7. It's actually Philemon 7, okay? For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. It's Paul talking to Philemon, sending a letter to Philemon, complimenting him. It says, I've derived... Paul saying, much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to be a Philemon. Say, I want to be a Philemon. That I will refresh the hearts of the saints. That's what the Lord has for you. Be a Philemon. Be an encourager. Be a grace gift. Whatever it is, figure it out. Amen. So why don't you stand just where you are, and let me pray for us.